welcome back. And I sincerely mean welcome back, all of you that are listening. You members of the Ecclesia, the called out ones, the remnant. I was talking to a radio station programmer one day, a program manager, and he was asking me about a program. And I told him what time it was coming on, because he was going to pick it up for his radio station. And I said, well, why don't you pick up my program? Because, you know, I've been doing this Bible teaching for quite a long time. This was back in the 90s, of course. And he says, well, your program's just a little too hardcore Bible for us. So I applaud all of you that are listening to this hardcore Bible program. You must really love the Word of God, and I hope that you like what I feel the Holy Spirit is doing through this study. I hope you're getting as much out of it, or more out of it than I am, because it's only by His Holy Spirit. If it wasn't for His Holy Spirit, I wouldn't want to be here. I'd just be wasting my time. I should go find something else to do. Perhaps I could become an artificer in brass or something. Anyway, Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahuwah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was corrupt before God. And the word there, it keeps switching back from the Lord, 3068, Yahuwah, to God, Elohim, the Hebrew 430. So where it says the Lord, I'm usually going to say Yahuwah. I'm going to say the name to the best of my ability. And where it says Elohim, I'm going to go ahead and say God, because that is our translation for Elohim. And the earth was filled with violence, which reminds me, you can entertain me for a minute. I'd like to jump ahead to the Revelation, where it says, in the New Testament, I'm not sure of the reference. I guess I could look it up, but I'd have to pause. But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The earth was filled with violence. And what does it mean, filled? You know, I have a couple glasses here, and, well, actually one is empty, but we'll say it's filled with air, or filled with water. And I have another one here that I was drinking out of today, and it's almost empty. You know, actually, if we're talking about filled, because that's the operative word here, the earth was filled with violence. So if something is filled, it's filled to the top. And that's the implication here. It's filled. If something is filled, it is filled. How far is it filled? Well, it's filled up. Okay? It's full. It's filled full with violence. The earth was filled full with violence. Is the earth full of violence today? Well, apparently, Noah was able to have some peace, at least enough peace to build this ark, right? So, but the earth was filled with violence. Is the earth filled with violence today? There is a lot of violence in the earth today. Where I live, it's fairly peaceable. Now, I could go where the violence is. I'd have to go out and look for violence to find it. But I'm sure I could find it pretty quick, especially if I got in a plane or something. There are violent parts of the earth. So on a scale of being filled all the way up with violence, I would have to say that the earth is not filled with violence. There is a lot of violence on the earth. So we can look forward that before Yahshua returns, we can look forward to a lot more violence coming in the earth. And that's a whole nother study. And, you know, stick around. We'll get to it. I'm seriously thinking about jumping into the book of Revelation after I finish Genesis, but we'll go where the Spirit leads. But that's kind of where I'm thinking of going, because it's just burning in me to get it out. Anyway, Noah begat three sons, and the earth was filled with violence. That's where we left off, to chapter 6, verse 11. The earth was corrupt before Yahuwah, before God. It was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And, you know, when he says all flesh, that means the majority. And, you know, basically, that's the way it is today. most people are corrupt. Most people have chosen disobedience. It's very sad. It is unfortunate. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Get it there again, filled with violence. To emphasize, he looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make you an ark of gopher wood. Rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and shall pitch it from within and without with pitch." I have to pause here for a minute and discuss the pitch as watching or in listening to Kent Hovind, one of his, this atheist came up and goes, "Well, they didn't have pitch, because pitch is an oil-based product. And how did they get it if the dinosaurs and all that stuff came with the flood, and that's where the oil came from?" Well, Kent obviously has never been a carpenter, which I have been. As a matter of fact, I built many houses and worked on over 50 commercial projects. I have a lot of experience in my past. I retired from construction back in the early 90s. Doesn't mean I don't pick up a saw once in a while and still like to build things, but as a profession, I retired from that in the early 60s. But I know that pitch is not an oil-based product, because when you work with raw wood, you got pitch all the time. And let me tell you, that stuff is sticky. It's terrible, you know. It's wonderful, too, if you need it, if you want it. And if I took that pitch and I smeared it all on the inside of a finished craft and all on the outside of it, guess what it would do to it? It would make it waterproof. Because as a carpenter, you're working with wood, and this pitch is just running out of the sap. Running out of the wood, you get it on your hands, and it sticks to your hands. And it's not sticky for very long, because guess what comes stuck to it? Comes dirt, and it turns into black. Black spots in your hand. You try to wash it off, and the water, it won't come off. You have to get a solvent to take it off, because water doesn't take it off. And it's waterproof, basically. So, anyway, and this guy, it's just funny to listen to this guy bring up these arguments, but Kent didn't really know what to do about that argument, so it's because he hadn't talked to me yet, but so when he gets out of, maybe I'll write him, because he's doing a little time for his stand as a righteous man locked up by an unrighteous government. Okay, you make you an ark of gopher wood, Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. Rooms you shall make in the ark, you shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Yes, this is a byproduct of waterproofing stuff that from plants, from trees that they smeared on the inside and outside of the ark. And this is the fashion which you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Cubit was from your elbow to the tip of your finger. And so I guess your cubit depended on how big you were. And who knows, Noah and his family were probably pretty big people. They might have been 12 feet tall. I believe the people are a lot bigger before the flood because of the atmospheric pressure and the amount of oxygen that was in the atmosphere. Even science points this out. So we have a witness in creation too. The scientists realized that there was a time when the saturation of oxygen in the atmosphere, the atmospheric pressure was much greater than it is now. And if you had this ice canopy, this clear ice canopy, which acted like a lens, and which would give them an extended life also, because it would stop a lot of the rays that cause us to age much quicker these days. So, I mean, it all adds up. We have evidences that this is the most likely scenario of the water that was above the firmament. We know there was water above the firmament. So the likelihood of it being a clear ice canopy is pretty good. And how did we get to that? Let's jump back in here. The cubit. We were talking about the cubit, the size of man, and how man grew to be much bigger and lived so much longer. 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. So, we have dimensions. We can at least build it to scale. We don't know what his cubit was. You take the, we probably could say he was 10 to 12 feet tall. So you take the cubit of a 10 to 12 foot tall man, and you have a pretty good estimation of how big the ark was. A window thou shalt make in the ark, and in it a cubit shalt thou shalt finish it above the door of the ark. Thou shalt set in the side thereof, with lower second and third stories thou shalt make it. So there were levels in the ark, 30 cubits high, you know, third level. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. So plants are different than animals. So everything that has the breath of life, this is what's considered life. Plants are not considered life because they don't have breath. From under the heaven and everything, so they didn't have to take any plants because of the seeds. You know, if you try to keep the weeds down on anything, you know what I'm talking about. How resilient the earth is and the seeds and the insects and all of the creeping things. You have fires, you have floods, it doesn't matter what. They always come back. So he didn't have to take insects. He didn't have to take plants on the ark. I'm sure there were some insects that traveled with them. And they had to take some plant life for food. Of course, they had to take hay or whatever. And I'm sure that even our Heavenly Father could have suspended the amount of food that they need. They weren't walking around as much. They're probably fasting, doing a lot of fasting, or had a very, low consumption diet during this time. I mean, our Heavenly Father, he can take care of things. If he could put a mark on Cain to keep people away from him, from murdering him, he can do anything. I mean, remember, he created the universe. You know, this is like the argument of, if God created the light from, 6,000 years ago, how come he created the light with the stars. That's why we can see them, even though they're 6 billion light years away or whatever. We don't really know how far the stars are, because we really can't measure that far. Although, men believe that they can. What men believe and what is reality are two different things most of the time. So he's given them specifications for the ark, and I'm sure that the specifications and plans that he had were much more detailed than this brief narrative of the specifications of the ark. The book of Genesis is not the schematic for the ark, as some contend. That, there's not enough information there to build an ark. Well, yeah, no kidding. He had the information. He could put the plans in Noah's brain. Remember, he wrote the information, he wrote the instinct in all the animals. I mean, the colt knows how to walk when it's born because the information is already programmed into it. And he has direct access to our brains. He can put anything in there he wants. It says, behold, Genesis chapter 6 verse 17. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth. I'm doing this. It's not a natural catastrophe that just perchance is going to happen. He says, I'm doing this. I'm going to bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein there's breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant. I'm going to make an agreement with you. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every shall thou bring into the ark, and keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. The fowls after their kind, the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. So they're going to come to him, our Heavenly Father. They didn't have to go out and trap them. They came. He says, they're going to come to you. So you remember, he gave them the programming. He added to their programming to go into the ark. So he knew which kind to bring in to repopulate the planet. It's not, they didn't have to be huge elephants and huge full-grown giraffes. They could have been babies. That would make more sense. They're going to be on the ark. They're going to grow enough in their time on the ark unless their growth suspended. However he did it, however it happened, he did it. He is the creator. He says, I'm going to cause this to happen. They're going to come unto you to keep them alive. You shall take thou unto thee all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee. He's giving them a grocery list now, so to speak, what they're going to need. And I'm sure these animals were in such a state that they ate as little as possible. I mean, I know I can get away without eating a lot, especially if I'm not doing much. Thou shalt take all the food, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he. So we get to chapter 7. And Yahuwah said to Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee I have seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take unto thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of the fowls also the air by sevens, the male and his female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made I will destroy from off the face of the earth. And I do suggest that you get Kent Hovind's series and watch it to get more detail on the flood and how things happened, you know, all of the physical details. And Noah did, according to all that Yahuwah commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters came upon the earth. So Noah did all, according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts, and of the beasts that are not clean, and of the fowl, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. And every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they went in male and female, all of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and Yahuwah shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it was lifted up off the above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. So we know that the highest mountains apparently were 15 cubits. 15 cubits upward did the water prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died and moved that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle, of the beasts, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things, and fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Chapter 8. And God remembered Noah, and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged, and the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated, and the ark rested on the 7th month, the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. So 7 months and 17 days they were in the ark, and it rested upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, and the 10th month on the 1st day of the month were the tops of the mountains seen. So we have 10 months now that they see the tops of the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. He also sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. He also sent forth a dove. I just read that. The dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And we're going to have to pick up here tomorrow, so join me then for cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, and live forever. There is nothing more important in this life than you cross the border into His kingdom and obtain eternal life.